such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony and Christina.
Father.
Welcome,
Angelica.
Father.
Nick, our condolences. You know, this is a... Well, I just sent an email out. About other things, you know,
sure.
But it's just here we're in the last we just had Gaudete Sunday, which is the Sunday of joy,
rejoice.
I was
going to
talk about that.
Yes,
and it kind of reconfirms what I was reflecting on Sunday.
Yes.
You know, where
yes.
and how do we find that joy? Mm-hmm. You know, we're now moving towards the feast of Christmas, which is the season of peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
know? Peace and joy, and at so many different levels, there's so much suffering, so much anxiety, so much sorrow. I just got word from Nick, a good friend of his. Her son died suddenly on Saturday. It's very, very sad. 22 years old. Then I wanted to get the names of the officers, but those two police officers
right.
today that were hit by, or yesterday evening hit by a train as they were trying to pursue, I believe a criminal. It was a drug, drug related thing, and I mean, my gosh, you know, it just breaks your heart.
Wow,
no
Too wonder.
Young guys.
No wonder one of our parishioners, Yesenia, I think her name is. She's a cop.
Yes, exactly.
She posted something and saying, you know, this has been a rough year for us.
Boy, has it really?
Yes.
It really has been. I'm happy we had the blue mask. Because
yes, yes.
You know, and the police officers, you know, they get it bad all the way around.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I was reading, I think a week ago or a couple of weeks ago, that the fewer number of people going into the police force, and why would you today? You know, if I mean, of course, we understand why, but you got this is the how the evil one works. On us to create divisiveness
division,
and division and
distorts
angst
everything,
and distortion, pervert everything.
Everything.
But you know these guys are putting their guys and the women
sure.
and men are putting their lives on the line,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, there are bad apples everywhere, you know. But slap me on the face if I say you know again. I don't know why I keep saying you know.
Probably my fault.
Yeah, but it just I. For some reason, the police officers, more than any profession, I just have this this big place in my heart for these guys and women and men.
You know, slap me if I, you know, women and men. You got to remember women too.
But the police officers I know, and I've always had respect, a deep respect
sure.
for law enforcement, and law and order. I mean, my gosh, we live in a disordered society that. Seems more and more lawless. We need, but you know, now today everybody's got cameras, and so these police officers just it's anyway, you get the point. I think. But I my heart just bleeds for the those two guys and their family members. They both have small children in their family. This is very, very sad. Very, very sad. Just and right before Christmas, you know, it always happens, doesn't it? This always happens.
Makes it more rough.
Wow. Anyway, well, so where do we go? Gaudete Sunday. I wanted to talk about that. I have a really neat article a commentary I read called, it's entitled Forgiving Springsteen. You know, I like the article, not just because of the,
right.
the focus on Bruce Springsteen, but yeah. I like the gist, the narrative here.
Be interesting, because I used to like Bruce Springsteen. I don't like him.
Well, anymore. that's what this guy was saying.
That's what I figured.
But at the same time, you know, he basically redeems Springsteen, but it's just not Springsteen. And it, what's interesting is, yesterday or the day before, I don't remember when, I lose track of time. Just we're all going from just one thing to the next. That's probably why we're just all stressed out. And, you know, I say, please, you know, Lord, and I'm trying to tell everybody, you know, just try to keep peace, try to keep joy as we approach the season of Christmas. It is a season of peace and joy. And yet, life is hard. Life is hard. Well, let me get to that first, you know, and we'll get to Springsteen.
Right.
A little bit later. And by the way, we're in the seven antiphons. Do you remember what those are?
I think I remember some of those.
Oh,
Wisdom, O Lord. These are the messianic titles they highlight a title for the Messiah. Of course, Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. That's what Christ means, Messiah. Mm-hmm. Christ, Messiah, Hebrew, Greek. So we're in the... Starting yesterday, we're in the 7 days leading up to the feast of the birth of Christ, the incarnation, the feast
seven
of the incarnation.
7 days away, right?
7 days.
Seven
today.
Days.
Wow.
Today, a week from today.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's why I say I think we're all under a lot of stress.
Yes, Father, we are.
I just sent an email to a wide variety of people from the parish, and they're just saying, you know, people, we've got to, and you guys got it too, you know, but we've got to pull together. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of division, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that. I'm making a public confession here to everybody in radio land that, you know, slap me in the face. I just did myself, and that hurts.
But isn't this is the time, in a sense, I guess, if there wasn't this spiritual warfare.
Wow. We would myself.
Get yourself back together, Father.
Go ahead.
But no, I think what the opportune time.
I really slapped myself in the face. It hurt.
I could tell. I felt it too.
I thought it was a snap, so you really slapped yourself.
I slapped myself in the face. Go ahead.
But no, you know, we're so close to the birth of our Lord, and it's when the devil's working overtime.
Spiritual battle.
Well, even when you think back when our Lord was born, what was happening too? Herod?
Yeah.
Sure.
What was going on in the innocent page? So
why should it be any different?
Yes,
right?
There you go.
Yeah, why should this day be any different?
Exactly.
Exactly. But we're in these 7 days. Yes, Tony, 7 days. So I hope you got your wife, Angelica, something for her for Christmas.
She's bad.
She happens to be in the studio. We should really get you on the radio.
Yeah, she won't.
Angelica, you know. But these 7 days, so each day in the liturgy, the hours, in the Vespers, in the evening prayer of the church, there's an antiphon that specifies or highlights a title that is specific to the Messiah. Who is this babe born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the babe of Bethlehem? Who is he, the Messiah? Yesterday was a wisdom. He is wisdom. Today, Adonai, he is the Lord. Tomorrow, the root of Jesse, the King of David, the rising sun, the King of the nations, and then finally, Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. So that's the, we're in the antiphon, so that means we're really, you got to get that Christmas shopping done. Mm. You don't have a lot of time now. Anyway, but Sunday was Gaudete Sunday, which was rejoice. So the priest wore
pink,
rose-colored.
Rose-colored.
I prefer to say rose-colored than pink.
Pink is for girls.
Yeah, but it looks...
the candle, too. I noticed the candle.
Right.
The rose-colored candle. Yeah, the vestments.
Rose candle.
Which means joyful. There's joyful anticipation of the coming of Christ. We're nearing the birth, but also we're nearing the second coming as well. Each day is a day closer to the second coming of Christ, certainly closer to the day of our death, right? Our passing from here to there, We hope that we're going there, meaning heaven. This is the goal, where we're created by God, for God. But this idea of joy, we bring this up every so often, rejoice. Somebody asked me if I had joy. I think we had a show on this. We probably had several shows because I don't know. I says, do I feel joy? I don't know. Life is hard. Life is full of anxiety and suffering.
I go back to your, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I go back to your.
You're not sorry.
No, I'm not sorry, right. I'm not sorry at all. I go back to your homily yesterday, which I thought was very good.
And, yesterday?
Well, yesterday. Wow. Sunday? Today's Tuesday. Sunday. Sunday's homily. But I was thinking when you said there's joy in the Mass, that was something that stood out for me because, you know, I'm one of those, you know, the little Ziggy guy that's always sad. But, I mean, I never realized at that moment that there is so much joy in the Mass.
Right.
And I just, it clicked for me and it's, I just realized that.
But it's a different kind of joy.
Find joy in the Mass was, to me.
It's a deep joy. It's not a superficial joy.
It's not, exactly.
Joy. Yeah.
I was kind of more in tune with what joy really is.
Sure.
You know, you come and show Lord, you know, I'm here.
Right.
See me, you know, that relationship.
Right.
Well, the joy in the Lord, knowing that He loves us and what awaits for those who are faithful to Him or are close to Him.
And that we're not defeated.
Yes.
If we keep grace, if we keep in friendship with God. Yeah. So, you know, did I say that?
Say what? No.
No. Okay. No. But as we prepare for Christmas, the season of joy and peace, you know, as Nick and his friends and the mother of this son are suffering, but they're not defeated. Now, they may not know that right now. But if we didn't have before us the cross and beyond the cross, the resurrection, if we didn't have the incarnation, God who condescends and takes on the weakness of our flesh to redeem us, to show us that, you know, it's, you know,
yeah,
you got it. To show us that.
Don't hate yourself.
I'm not going to do that. I'm still hurting from the first slap. But that in the exile, in this time when we're wayfarers, when we're on the journey, we're pilgrims. See, we can't deny that. That's just the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Every year gives way to a new year. Mm-hmm. Every day gives way to a new day. Just the way it is.
Yes.
We are who we are. I'm never going to be 10 years old ever again. I'm never going to be 50 years old ever again, right? We just move in one
direction.
And we're all going to die. But we're not defeated because even in the grief and the sadness, the heaviness of the death of Nick's friend or these two police officers, you got to go through that grief, the sadness, the shock, the separation. But it's God's grace that helps us to put things in perspective and that we do survive. If we have, Jesus said, if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. But going back to this, the joy, so it is, it's a deeper joy. It's not something that, so as I was saying, you know, life is hard, life is full of suffering. Life is stress, distress, depression, oppression. It's the attack or the assault that comes to the mind, the body, the soul, the spirit every day. As I've said many times, even if everything was just perfect for me and I had no suffering in the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit, but your suffering, then I'm brought into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a source of suffering for me, not a despairing kind of a suffering. But it is, we're affected by the sufferings of others.
Mm-hmm.
And so you live in a world where you look around, all you have to do is just stay with the news. And we all know that many of us are kind of detaching from the news because there's so much bad news, and you can only take so much. It's too much. Too much already. I don't need no more. I don't need more sadness in my life. I don't need more. Because some of us don't have a thick skin, in a sense. You know, I consider myself a strong person. I feel like I've got a strong constitution. But I also know that I'm deeply affected by the sufferings of others. And I think most people are, don't you think?
Yes.
So it's, so what about this joy? What about the joy? We're going to take a break. When as I was preparing for the Sunday Masses, for Gaudete Sunday, I had to really think about that. And I, like you just said, Tony, and I'm surprised you say that in the presence of your wife, that you're just this sad, pessimistic.
She knows. She knows. She has to deal with it.
But she's got a lot of joy, you know?
That's what keeps me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You better believe it. You compliment each other.
Right.
But I had to say to myself, too, you know, what? Okay, I don't want to be a downer for others. Mm-hmm. And I hope I'm not, and I don't think I am. But I also live in reality. I'm not in la-la land or not living kind of a utopian.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
We're not in Kansas anymore, no. But so I had to, in preparation for the Sunday Masses, and I mean, I was doing this on Saturday because there was so much going on, and I thought I had a point that I was going to make, and it changed. Mm-hmm. It changed. So I had to sit back and say, okay, let me look back over the past week. What brought me joy? Where was the joy? And as we go into the break, I ask all of you listening, are you joyful? Do you have joy? Do you rejoice? Anyway, take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You can help donate to provide student scholarships to St. Stanislaus Kostka School and deduct 75% of your donation from your Illinois state tax. By the way, your donation will be matched 2-for-1. To learn how to make your contribution and designate it to St. Stan School's Scholarship Fund, visit ststanschicago.org. The process takes 7 to 10 days, so it is important to complete the process for your donation now before the end of the year. Go to ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. And click on the link for scholarships and donation information on the homepage to walk you through the process. Your donation will be matched 2-for-1, and 75% of your donation is Illinois tax deductible. And in the process, someone will receive a needed scholarship to St. Stanislaus Kostka School. Monday, December 24th, Christmas Eve Day, and Tuesday, December 25th, Christmas Day, Winds of Change offers you a gift of music and reflection. Join us as Father Anthony, Christina, Tony, and Remembering Jerry from Christmases Past. Nick and Armin wish you a holy and happy Christmas from Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Why does St. Nicholas deliver gifts under the cover of night? Well, that tradition began in my hometown of Patara in Asia Minor when I came to the help of a destitute man who had 3 grown daughters. He was so poor that he could barely feed them. Because he was so desperate, he was tempted to sell them into slavery. Then I remembered the words of Jesus who said, "When you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing." And so I put together 3 bags of gold coins and tossed them through the window at night to help them. That was the first of my midnight visits. And that's the reason to this very day, even when I'm dressed as Santa Claus, I still deliver gifts under the cover of night. May the same love, joy, and peace that the angels proclaimed on that first Christmas animate your own heart to give hope to those most in need. For Christ is born. Glorify him.
Welcome back, everybody. Boy, he's happy, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, Santa Claus. Is joyful.
Joyful. He's joyful. No, I'm joyful. I have joy. I have joy. So thinking back over the week, I said, okay, so where, because we're dealing with problems on a day-to-day basis. Again, the news, you watch the news, families are so often suffering. In crisis, marriages.
Sure.
We look at what's going on in the government and the church.
The church, yeah.
Yeah, so why would we not feel a certain stress or a certain distress, certain anxiety? So where's the joy? So that's a think back over the week, and I thought, really, okay, so when did I feel joy? I had joy a week ago Sunday when we had the celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe. This was before the feast day itself. And remember the young people, the dances, folklore, right?
Yes.
The Aztecs, the old people, the young people dressed like old people. And I remember that was so beautiful to see them really out there performing.
Sure.
In colorful costumes and with happy music, joyful music. Angelica was just to the Copernicus. You listen to the mariachis. And that's a very joyful experience. You know. By the way, you know, that's typical of Latin America, and I think many other nations as well, or cultures, especially I'm thinking of Latin America, where there is a lot of poverty,
yes.
Where there's a lot of, sad to say, but even a lot of violence, a lot of just bad things that happen everywhere these days, right? But let's just say in the midst of the poverty, the ability for poor people to have fiesta, to have these kind of... Go ahead.
I think of the Africans. You know, we've same worked example. With the African priests, and I'm friends with them, their families, and their friends in Africa. And these people are so joyful. They're full of joy, and yeah, there's so much poverty, and yet they're so joyful because their joy, again, it's in the Lord. Their faith is the center of their lives. They have a real strong faith, and that's what gives them their joy, and that's what gives them the strength to persevere.
The image I have of Africa, you know, you're right as you say that, and I remember being at the Mass in Kigali, in Kibeho, in Rwanda, and these people were very, very poor. I mean, they had dirt floors, one-room shacks, or huts, I guess you'd call them huts, not shacks, but really poor, very, very poor. But I remember as they were coming to the Mass, well, I remember the drum beat. So they would use the drums to call people to the Mass. Yeah. And you can, this is a very hilly, they call it the a nation of a thousand hills. But in Kibeho, which is where Our Lady appeared in the 1980s, this is also where the genocide took place. So this is even after the aftermath of the genocide. But as the people were being called to Mass with the beat of the drum, it was very moving. You could just, you could see from where I was on the hill of, it's called the Hill of the God. That's where the statue of the Divine Mercy is. It came really from here to Rwanda. And you could see out over the huts, you had the smoke, you could see where they prepare the food outdoors, but you could see it all over, you know, and these huts everywhere on these different hills, right? But as with the beat of the drum, the people then leave their homes and they come to the Mass. The Mass was outdoors this time. And I remember just hearing the song, the clapping, as they were coming, as they were nearing the parish and or the shrine to the Divine Mercy. And I remember just looking out and see them coming. I saw them coming up the hill on the dirt road, barefoot, but clapping and singing, and the movement of the body. They use everything for prayer. Their bodies, their prayer. Lord, and it was so beautiful, and the smile, the joys in their faces.
Beautiful smiles, and the masses are. That's why many of the priests that come from there are here, and they're amazed that the Mass is only 1 hour. That's it. over there, it's at least 2 hours.
Right, that's right.
People don't want to leave because they're so happy. They're worshiping the Lord.
I had rosaries for the people, and I almost got crushed up against the divine mercy. I mean, literally, I was giving these rosaries out, and the people just almost literally crushed me against the base of the statue of the divine mercy. But in Mexico as well, in Oaxaca, I may have told the story before, but I'll never forget that I was there for the Feast of the Epiphany, because that's in the Mexican tradition. That's when they give the gifts.
Oh, yes.
Christmas Day is a day for the family, for the dinner.
Yeah,
for
the three kings.
But on the Feast of the Three Kings, the Feast of the Epiphany is when they bring the gifts are given.
Yeah.
And so I was in this very poor mission in Oaxaca where people had to go to the wells to get the water. They had to bathe in the rivers and all that. And so at the mission, we had a little playground with a swing set and a slide and all that. And these two little children, Marcela and Angel, this is Marcela and Angel, they kept telling me, you know, they can't wait for the Feast of the Three Kings. That's when they get their presents, right? This is two little kids. Beautiful. But every day they'd come and they'd swing on the swings and they're just in the playground. Live in a little tiny house, again, dirt floor. So the feast came, the Feast of the Three Kings. I was getting ready for Mass, and we had a little chapel there. And these two children, they came running there with this very big smile on their face. They were so happy. Again, like in the air, they're barefoot.
Yes.
And they wanted to show me the presents, you know, what they, the present. Each got a present.
Yeah, had a present.
And it was just, I took a picture of the two, because I said, this is, everybody's got to see this, the joy in the faces of these two children. So the little girl got a doll. She got a little doll, that's all she got. It's a little doll, probably about 9 inches tall. Didn't move its arms, didn't move its legs, didn't have real hair, didn't have real eyes. Everything was plastic. That's all she got. She was, it was like a piece of gold. She was so happy. And Angel, the little boy, he got a police car that didn't do anything. I mean, it had wheels that turned, but you had to, you know, push it.
Right.
But these were like two little toys from a dollar store. They looked like they would have cost maybe 50 cents or a dollar.
Sure.
That's all they got. And they were so happy. I mean, talk about joy. Now, figure that out. And yet, I tell you, these people were so generous. So I was invited to the house of this woman. Her name was Teodora. She, too, lived in a simple little house, dirt floor, invited me over for dinner. Father Jim Gibson, myself, we went for dinner up this hill. And first time I'm in her home. Chickens are running around in the house, you know. She killed a chicken, prepared this beautiful feast. You know, she ate. You know what she ate? We ate the chicken. You know what she ate?
The feet or the wing?
No, she sucked everything out of the head of the chicken.
Oh.
Wow. Are you familiar with that, Angelica?
Wow.
No?
Yeah.
They eat everything.
They eat everything.
Yeah. But they gave us the best part.
Right.
Yeah, they gave you the best. Yeah.
Or maybe the head was better. I don't know. Who knows?
Like Angelica said, they eat everything. The feet, the neck.
But the joy, the joy. So I was thinking about, you know, what brought me joy. It was the feast, you know, seeing those kids. I said, yeah, I was really joyful. And watching the people enjoy eating the food. Oh my, the aroma.
The food was so good.
Of the food as I went down into the gym. The gym is, you have to go downstairs into our gym. We have a huge gym. That's where they had the fiesta.
Yes.
And they were making sopas.
Sopas. Fresh right there, fresh made.
Pozole, tamales. They were making stuff fresh right there.
Yes.
The aroma was, but just to see the joy of the people.
The joy of the people and enjoying each other's company.
Right.
And enjoying the children.
Right. Las mañanitas on the day of the feast, you know, 5 a.m. And, you know, you said it too, Christina. And Tony, you guys were there.
Yes,
Angelica, you guys were all there too.
Yeah.
But I remember, and we talked about it the day before. Tomorrow, Las Mañanitas.
It's a killer.
5 o'clock in the morning, we got to be in the church. 5 o'clock in the morning. I can't complain because I live in the church, you know. But people are coming from as far as Plainfield and all over the place. You guys, Tony and Angelica, had to come from your neck of the woods, which is not that close. Christina, you're only a block away, so you have no reason to complain. But
I was up at 3 a.m, Father. Can you read?
Yeah, because you get ready, you know.
I gotta get ready because we had to dress up.
But so, it was so,
I thought about it too. The next day, it was a full day for me. Sure. I had no sleep, and I thought, oh, why did I put myself through this? But you know, it's like the day went by so fast. And,
beautiful.
In a sense, you're floating. I mean, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah. The people come, they serenade, they bring the flowers, and it's just a joyful. It's a kind of joy that brings tears to your eyes.
Yes. And it did.
Even the one of the directors of the choir that work with the children. Years pass. Oh, you know, the adults, we have to be there because the children are going to sing later. They can't. They're not going to come early.
Right.
She said the children said, why can't we come? We want to be there in the morning. We want to sing to Our Lady. The children were there, and they were so happy. They were so happy.
So nice. And then afterwards, I remember, I got to tell the people, I did mention on Sunday at the Mass, after the Mass, but so that was such a joyful occasion in the morning. Then to have the hot chocolate and the, who made the tamales?
Oh, there were some tamales from Oaxaca.
Puerto Rican. Oh, Oaxacan.
No, they were from Oaxaca. They're the big tamales.
With the banana.
Banana,
peel.
Yeah.
Banana leaf.
The leaf, yes. Somebody, every year they donate these tamales. Oaxaqueños are called. So very delicious.
That
yeah.
Chocolate was, Mexicans make the best hot chocolate.
Yeah, because somebody brought chocolate, hot chocolate from Dunkin' Donuts, and then the Mexican style chocolate, the abuelitas, you know, the little, the round part.
I can taste it now.
The black, and they preferred the Mexican.
Oh, delicious.
Chocolate. It was delicious.
Delicious, and then the sweet bread.
The
and all
sweet
that.
Breads.
I remember that brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah.
You know? but I was thinking about the really what brought me joy. What brings me joy is my chapel. Mm-hmm. I find joy in the chapel, you know, even if I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I'm tired or anxious about something, it's just knowing that God is there and that God has your back. The chapel, the Mass, I mentioned the Mass, we end the day with a chaplet, so we have the Mass, and then afterwards we go to the icon of Our Lady of Divine Mercy.
The Lady of the Sign.
Our Lady of the Sign, Ark of Mercy. Mm-hmm. We pray the chaplet, and there's just a great joy. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that's visible. It's just something you feel in the deep recesses of the soul. So you're, and I was saying, too, that at the end of the day, knowing that I got through the day, you know, dealing with all the problems, dealing with my own issues, dealing with other people, dealing with Christina in the office.
It's not easy.
But, you know, we don't know what's coming through the door. Right. And it's mostly problems. It's mostly sadness. It's a crisis. It's every day. But at the end of the day, there's a joy knowing that by God's grace, I had the ability to tap into those challenges, right? Mm-hmm. And we all have to do that.
Yeah.
We do that. But if we do it with the Lord, if we really open our lives to God and nurture that relationship through prayer, then yes, this becomes a source of joy. And so let me just say that we've got the three comings of Christ. The first coming of Christ, he came 2,000 years ago. We're preparing for the feast of the birth of Jesus. We anticipate eagerly the second coming of Christ. We're in vigilant prayer. Certainly the season of Advent calls us to be vigilant, not to forget that he is coming to wipe away the tears, to give rest. So when he comes the first time, he comes in the weakness of our flesh. He comes to redeem us. He took our sins to himself. His life ended in tragedy in the eyes of the world. But it was through this suffering, the crucifixion, the scourging, crowning him with thorns, his fiat in the Garden of Gethsemane, which brought him to sweat blood. That was our redemption. He redeemed us. So he came in the weakness of flesh to redeem us. He came visibly. The eyes of the world saw him. When he comes again at the end of all things, he will be seen visibly in glory and power and majesty. All will see him, those who crucified him, and all will lament him. We've heard that a couple of times since we began the season of Advent. But there's that third time when he comes, the interim. St. Bernard writes about this. When he comes invisibly, we don't see him visibly, but under the hidden guise of bread and wine, through the sacraments, he comes through the Word. And to the extent that we allow Jesus to take possession of our lives, to live within us, dwell within us, and we try, with the help of God's grace, to remove the impediments or the barriers, which is very difficult, but to the extent that we allow ourselves to be possessed by God, then the Lord reveals himself through us to others, or through you to me. So that's that third coming, and that's what brings us joy. That's what gets us through the trials and the tragedies, mm-hmm. and the gives us the grace to face the challenges, whatever they may be, to bear with the distress, to deal with depression, to know oppression, trial, tribulation, that we say life is hard, life is heavy, there's a lot of suffering, but it's having access to that third coming, the interim, where Jesus is true to his words. He spoke after he instituted the Holy Eucharist, better that I go, that I remain with you. And how does he remain with us? But in the sacraments, in the Word of God, and in each other, to the extent that we open ourselves to his indwelling presence. That brings us joy. That's the joy. When we talk about Gaudete Sunday, joy, rejoice, that's the joy. There's where we rejoice. But it's unlike the world's happiness. It's not superficial. It's deep. It's profound. And it gives us the courage and the humility and the grace to deal with the suffering, so we don't flee from suffering. We enter into the sufferings of this life, into each other's sufferings, to be that what they call the balm of Gilead, the anointment, the soothing ointment, because we've tasted, we've seen the goodness of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We'll be back. Should we maybe go on to Springsteen?
Sure.
Should we have some time for that?
Yeah.
It's related somehow. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You can help donate to provide student scholarships to St. Stanislaus Kostka School and deduct 75% of your donation from your Illinois state tax. By the way, your donation will be matched 2-for-1. To learn how to make your contribution and designate it to St. Stan School's Scholarship Fund, visit ststanschicago.org. The process takes 7 to 10 days, so it is important to complete the process for your donation now before the end of the year. Go to ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. And click on the link for scholarships and donation information on the homepage to walk you through the process. Your donation will be matched 2-for-1, and 75% of your donation is Illinois tax deductible. And in the process, someone will receive a needed scholarship to St. Stanislaus Kostka School.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing,
on first Saturday afternoon starting at 4:30. Find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago. And find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Angelica here, and I just missed almost missed a cue to come in. But she makes a good point about the suffering or the joy. Let's say the joy of
the simplicity.
She comes from Mexico, so she was raised in Mexico and in a poor area. Right? Why don't you come on the radio?
I wish you would. I really wish you would.
But she makes a good point, and this is I'll attest to this as well, because in Oaxaca, where I was, see, all that's been changed because the poverty hasn't changed. But even the poor now have access to the internet and to
The social media.
Social media. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is it contaminates the simplicity. It so that now there's this vicarious living through, in a vicarious way, living through the much of the garbage that is
it's often
infiltrated into the minds and into the hearts of these people.
And you know what? Somebody told me that here in the States, we've been blessed, but there's a blessing and a curse too, where we have everything, all the materials, all that, but Americans, and this is somebody from the outside of another country, a poor country, are the most depressed. How much?
Sure. Mother Teresa would say that. Yes.
Depressed. We're the most poor, you know, in spirit, poverty.
Right.
As far as that goes, because we're becoming a godless, more and more godless society.
Yeah, I was just reading this morning Pope Benedict. I've got this huge, big book that was written about the thoughts, the life and the thoughts of Pope Benedict. Mm-hmm. He's a man to be admired. He really is. I just was reading a section about the materialism and relativism that has really taken the world by, it's got the world in its grip. Yeah. And it's there's no room or little room for the supernatural, for the sacred, or for the discipline of the faith, because our faith is a discipline. So this is kind of related. Now we'll see if we can get through this. But I found this article fascinating. It's entitled "Forgiving Springsteen," Bruce Springsteen. But I'm going to go through the article. This is written by this Bob Sullivan. I don't remember even where I got it. It was in a Catholic blog space or something. But he says, once upon a time, he says he was a big Bruce Springsteen fan. Right. But he said that changed over the last 6 years. He explains why he lost interest in his music. Then he explains why he has hope that he would return as a fan. But he says that his departure from Bruce's fan club, quote unquote, began when he and his wife were in a concert in Omaha in 2012. He said, "I was struck by the religious feel of the entire show." He says, "I recall that Bruce had been a Catholic at some point in his life, but had left the faith many years ago. Sometimes people have very understandable reasons for leaving the church. Sometimes it's simply due to the poor catechesis, poor example of people who should have done a better job of passing along the faith. He says, it always bothers me when someone stops practicing their Christian faith, but I always remind myself that I stopped practicing my faith 20... Oh, and he says, I'm sorry. I remind myself that I stopped practicing my faith 20 times per day. This is an interesting point, right? Wow. This is why part of my daily prayer routine is to pray for the conversion of souls. And he says, I believe I'm the recipient of many graces when others pray for the conversion of souls as well. So he says that while he was attending this Springsteen concert, he found himself contemplating how a popular Catholic artist can lose his way, especially one who had grown up in a time when the catechesis in many Catholic schools was extremely poor. Not only that, but Springsteen came of age during the Vietnam War, the sexual revolution, and at a time when youth were expected to reject authority. Because of this, he begins to wonder if Springsteen had not walked away from the church as much as he modified his faith into something much more accessible to a rising star, notoriety, money, privilege, pleasure, and all the trappings of success. He says, we'll allow things to take precedence over God at times. We do that, don't we? So going to the Springsteen concert, he said, was like going to a megachurch service. Like a minister, Springsteen stood center stage, telling stories between songs. His songs are stories, too. So the whole night was basically one long reading from the gospel, according to Bruce. He says, I don't mean that in a negative sense. Much of what he writes and speaks is fueled by his Catholic roots. However, it is deeply impacted by the world as well. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good. In my hometown, it is good. In the river, it is not so good. I'm familiar with my hometown. I'm not familiar with the river. Are you?
I think I remember probably one of my favorite songs. I can't remember the lyrics to it now.
You got to go back and check it out.
Yeah, now I got to check it out.
So he said at his concert, he says, every move that he made was carefully designed to deliver his message. Just as the liturgy of the Mass is designed to inspire and move our hearts and minds to heaven, Springsteen's show was designed to inspire and move you to a more earthly place. And it clearly did inspire and move a lot of people. The difference was the Holy Mass is divine worship of the one God, while Springsteen's concert, as good as it was, is only the secular accented by hints of the liturgy with which he was raised. At one point he stood, I remember seeing this, he does this all the time, he stood holding a triumphant pose with his guitar in the air at the climax of one of his iconic hits. At that moment, I knew where he had gotten the inspiration. I recall thinking that he should have been or should have had an altar boy ringing bells at the time. I left the concert with mixed feelings. I expected a concert with less similarity to a worship service. The music was as good as I had expected it to be, but the lyrics had lost most of their meaning for me. Maybe, he says, I've just outgrown his style, but I don't think that was the case. The ritual with which his band and his fans conducted themselves made me sad for all of them. It was as if his fans were following him across the country because they were lost and were simply trying to worship something. Was Springsteen stuck searching for something he'd never find where he was looking? I prayed for him. I prayed that he would come home. I kept listening to his music, though with a little less satisfaction. Unfortunately, 4 years later, he took some very public positions in support of transgenderism and homosexuality. As a father to 5 young daughters, I found that recklessness several steps over the line. Struggling with one's faith is one thing. As I said, we all struggle. But to publicly and aggressively promote ideas which are an absolute contradiction to the best interests of very vulnerable people, this is another matter totally. So he says, I got rid of all the CDs, the tapes, the records. I removed his songs from my electronic devices. I simply couldn't justify listening to the works of a man who was using his fame to promote a way of life which is not only contrary to Catholic moral teaching, he was promoting things that carry serious medical risks and threaten the institution of the family, which is still the steel mesh of civilization. It's a very interesting point, right?
Mm.
However, even though I have been Springsteen-free for nearly 3 years now, I've continued to pray for the conversion of souls, including his soul. I believe prayer is effective. I believe the prayers I say for the conversion of souls are very effective. However, I don't know who the prayers help. Maybe it's my relatives or a persecuted Christian in Syria. Maybe it's a college student in Los Angeles or somebody lying on their deathbed who decides to tell his nurse to call the local priest. But he says, lately I've begun to see and hear some hopeful things about Bruce Springsteen. And although his soul is of no greater value than any other soul, all human life is precious to God, I like to think some of my prayers have nudged him back to the faith. So the first thing I saw was a video in which he spoke of his Catholic childhood, a childhood in which all his relatives were Catholic and their lives were deeply impacted by the life of the St. Rose of Lima Parish, or St. Rose of Lima Parish, in Freehold, New Jersey. which he may not have visited in a long, long time. So he says, I started to write this article after watching that video. I wondered if he had visited his childhood parish. I wonder if he had placed a call to the parish office, spoke with the pastor, explained that he would like to stop by and see his old childhood parish. Maybe he went, maybe he had time to kneel in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Maybe the memories of the Mass were playing in his head once again. Maybe he was thinking about the fact that Jesus died for his sins and he wants his lost sheep to come home. Maybe he had approached the pastor to talk about going to confession, seeking an annulment if necessary, and returning to the church of his ancestors. That was nearly 6 months ago. I chalk it up to nostalgia. As time passed, I suspect that it was more likely that he simply decided it made a good story for his show, for his career. Most of us have fond memories of our childhood, even though we know we can never recapture those days. A well-told story resonates with people, and Springsteen knows how to tell a great story. However, he says, today I saw something which offered a little more hope. The Times, a London-based newspaper, published an interview with Springsteen, which answered one of my questions. Springsteen has not only visited his childhood parish, St. Rose of Lima, he visits often. Although he says he hasn't gone to confession, simply visiting the Blessed Sacrament is a seismic event for someone who has been away from the church for 5 decades. So this is one of the reasons why we pray. Not that we specifically want celebrities to convert and revert to Catholicism. Again, in the eyes and mind of God, all souls are of equal dignity and value. The reason is much bigger than one man. If someone like Bruce Springsteen, who really has about everything an American could desire, can feel drawn to the Catholic Church after all these years, there is hope for all of our relatives and loved ones who have drifted or who feel pushed away. So he said, maybe it's time to download a few of my favorites, you know, the songs of Springsteen. And if we keep praying for the conversion of souls, maybe fewer of us will waste our summer praying in vain for a Savior to rise from these streets. And we'll realize that one true Savior has been waiting right where he told us he had to be so long ago. He said to them, why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?
Wow, that's good.
It's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, I think that was my one thing. I love Bruce Springsteen. I used to. I mean, I just don't like to go someplace where I have to hear your politics. You're there to entertain me. Let's keep it that way. He's a marvelous storyteller, but I've sensed that getting away from what really was about. And quite frankly, I thought about this the other day. I don't think there's been anything new from him that I've really liked since his older stuff, when he was the way I remember him. So
I was reading that, you know, for all that he's got, he suffers with severe depression.
I can imagine.
Clinical depression.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So, you know, this, but I did read not too long ago something about his reliving or retelling the story of his Catholic upbringing.
Oh.
And it was really beautiful because as it was in those days, the life revolved around the parish. And today, unfortunately, that's just not the case.
Yeah, I think about that. Even when we, you know, we're talking about how, you know, the whole parish, it was the neighborhood around. Most people now have moved on or been priced out of the neighborhood. So it's a matter of, okay, you got to give it to the people that still know where they come from and come from far away.
And we're up against the culture. Going back to what your wife said, and it's true, that simplicity, that childlike faith in the Latin American countries and in Africa, childlike, not the childish, but childlike means to be childlike is to be, always says, to be open to wonder at the mystery of God, the mystery of it all. But that simplicity has been terribly, deeply contaminated because of social media technology, which is in and of itself is not a bad thing. But if we don't have the means to detach from that, and it's interesting, I read this article this morning. I reading it on the radio is kind of laborious, I think.
Right.
But it came at the right time because I was thinking, yes, I saw something yesterday or the day before. I don't remember what it was, but it was a rock concert or something. Right. It was just clippings from or a video from one of the concerts, and you just see that just thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And it is like idol worship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The screaming, you just see that. It's just, we can't begin to compete mm-hmm. with that.
You couldn't have told me that 20 years ago, and I'm being generous with that. You get older and you think about where people's minds or where their gods with little g's are. And it's interesting you're talking about, isn't it something how you give poor people access to the internet and Facebook and Snapchat and all of that, and we think there's something that wrong with the world? Just think about that. Shouldn't poorer people get food and water and things like that and just try to get a better, you know, state in life? But
sure,
no,
sure,
we think we're helping by giving them internet. Mm-hmm. That's something that, you know, just kind of bothers me.
Yeah, really, I remember some years ago, I was, not too many years ago, but I was happened to be in a neighborhood, a very rough neighborhood. And guys, working age men, young mm-hmm. men in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, were just roaming the streets.
On the corners
mm-hmm. with their, what do they call those, the boom boxes.
Yeah.
Boom boxes, yes. Cell phones, among other things. Yeah. Everything, you know, the gadgets were all there.
It's interesting, too, and I've had this conversation with people. You consider yourself poor if you don't have the newer car or the newer phone or the newer TV, whatever. Yeah. It's a sad thing when you start thinking, it's almost like there's extremely rich and extremely poor. The middle class is disappearing because usually if you don't have all the gadgets, you're considered the poor.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how I think about those things, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
Where
that don't
are
make sense.
Our heads?
Yeah, really, sure, for mm-hmm. sure.
And if there's no, you know, faith, know that we are better. Now we are, there's someone above us, greater than us.
Yeah, we're out of time, Tony.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But no, it's true. What's it going to take to wake us up?
What is it going to take?
And I guess to be, as I was watching this concert, mm-hmm. it leaves me, I can never see myself in a situation like that. Maybe when I was young, I could have. I didn't really partake in that. But there is something that draws. But at this point, it just, no. My joy comes from the chapel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, because it's there we take there, not the superficial, but the real, what is really mm-hmm. real. Anyway, out of time as always. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
that you say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?